Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Live to Inspire with your host, Krishna Lakineni. This morning, we have Susie Madsen. Susie from Sweden, all the way from Sweden. Thank you so much for joining us, Susie. You are an amazing individual. I have known you personally, but for the viewers, Susie is the founder of From Me to You movement. She has been a motivational speaker, coach, and she empowered many people through her leadership coaching programs and works with some international clients as well. So, Susie, tell us how this COVID is affecting and what you've been doing right now.
Well, for me personally, it has not affected my business at all because I already had a plan to proceed with the For Me To You movement and the launching. Personally, of course, it has been affected because I have two friends who have been sick in COVID and being hospitalized. And I had friends in New York who was also affected. But I think the most important thing is to keep holding the vision and not the circumstances in this time. And that is the best advice we can give each other.
Hold your vision. That's an amazing tip. And I think that was true for you on many occasions in your life. How did you come up with this From Me to You movement?
Well, we need to go back to 2013, 7 years ago, when I tried to process my past, my childhood trauma. I came to a point when I couldn't identify my current self with that little child. So I decided to write her a letter, at least to say thank you. And that was the starting point of how writing is healing and what ingredients needs to be included in that letter that I later on named Wisdom Letter. So I studied for 4.5 years how writing is healing and the powerful process of putting a pen to the paper and what exactly are the key factors that needs to be included and also in a deliberate order. Because our brain is wired in a specific way, so we need to be prepared for the different steps. So I tested it out to my coaching clients, and they got tremendously over and beyond results. And that was the starting point of writing wisdom letters addressing your past trauma.
That's amazing. I think we all want need to heal, not wanted to, need to heal to move forward. And we all have different types of trauma. And you mentioned this was from your childhood. What happened?
Well, when I was 8 years old, my mom, she died from cancer. And I haven't seen my father for 4 years because they divorced when I was four. But due to the Swedish law, the other parent got custody when one parent dies. So I was forced to live with a stranger, actually, because I haven't seen him for 4 years. For six months, living in his home with his religion and strict rules, I found out that he actually sold me to strangers in a foreign country. And was about to put me on a plane the following day that I found out. And as an eight-year-old, what do you do in that kind of situation? But I decided to run away from home, which I did. And I lived on the streets when I was 8 years old. And so that was going back to that time when I wrote my letter to myself and addressing my past wound.
You know, that's I think, you know, people who know you right now, they couldn't tell you have a story and the past that's traumatized, and then you healed yourself where you are now. Thank you for sharing that, Susie. And I think a lot of us struggle with some sort of addictions or past traumas. And I hope everybody can get through whatever they're going through and create something beyond for themselves. You know, I read your story in the book, right?
Yes. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for this book and encouraging me to write my own story and give me the tools to, you know, write some of the trauma that I experienced. And I think journaling plays a huge role in a lot of us. And you were able to develop a specific process that worked for you, and you tested with your coaching clients, and now that you're offering from this.
Yes.
So where do you want to take the From Me to You movement?
Well, since I am a strong believer that everybody has a story, everybody has been through some hardship, some challenge, something that really could shape us, but in adult life didn't control us. I totally believe everybody has a story like that. And if we share our stories, we can collectively heal. Because when I share my story and you, Krishna, share your story, then other people can learn from how we overcome and how we, what wisdom did we learn from this? Because people are longing for happiness. They're longing for being loved. And today there is a lot of pain and also a lot of unnecessary suffering. And I believe that those wisdom letters collected in the book collection could help other people who are currently in pain, who are currently struggling. And that is our gift to pay forward what we have been through and what life lessons have we learned. So we are able to collectively heal. And I think that is where the power is, that we are doing this collectively. And so the bigger mission is to reach 1 million wisdom writers all over the globe. And right now we have around 12,000 letters that are coming in and still coming in on a daily basis around the world. And it's very interesting to read that, for example, a woman who has been raped in India and a woman who has been raped in Canada, they have the same emotional experience. They share the same pain, they share the same suffering, and also how not unhealing your past trauma totally affect your belief system and your decision-making and how you are as a partner or spouse or a mother or a father. It totally affects us. So we can see from reading all those letters that we have so many commonalities around the world for the same wound. So I'm a strong believer that if we can just imagine when we can share all those stories and how we collectively can heal and build those bridges around the world between our past, our present, and our bigger and united future, then I think we have come a long way. And so, yeah, that's my bigger vision of the whole movement.
I'm speechless. I think you touched on many points here. The trauma that we experience emotionally is the same for a lot of us, irrespective of gender, religion, but we experience the same feelings and they leave same marks on our brain. And until we get that healing happen, we can't move forward collectively. It's a beautiful way to think. And I'm so happy that you are encouraging people to relieve themselves from their own traumas and creating this movement around it. And I think it's so important, especially right now with all the stress and depressed world we're in right now with COVID-19 and what else happening, right?
Yeah.
But you had this planned a couple of years ago. It's not something you're working on right now. So you had like 12,000 people already wrote these letters. What else did you find it inspiring? Because you shared a story, about a rape victim in India and even in Canada. What else are you finding, like in terms of the emotions and the trauma they're experiencing?
I first believed that this is typical, a female kind of thing. But actually, I have received to this point more letters and more men for men, and more men has actually approached me. So I'm really happy to see that this is not a gender thing, because it's so many men who feel they are unheard because they have also experienced like sexually abusing, bullying, bankruptcy, people have been homeless. There's every kind of, we have 9/11 survivors who have written wisdom letters. So they come from all kind of fields in life. And I think the most important thing is that the letters reveal sometimes secrets that has not being brought to the surface in their family. And they're also describing really true hardships. But in every letter so far, they're also sharing a huge comeback because the process is taking them from the pain and transform the wound to wisdom. So all the letters ending up being positive and the people have a stronger belief in themselves because they have been able to transform their relationship to the wound and at the same time also reframe their experience around it. They bring so much hope and so much courage and the strength that people experience from, for example, breaking the family chain. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes unhealed wounds kind of travel through generations in the same family. And it only takes one person who are strong enough, you know, to break that chain. And the whole family is kind of healed.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we kind of bleed on people who had nothing to do with the wound, you know? I really hope that this book collection with the wisdom letters can reach the masses because it will make a huge difference in people's life because they can just pick the topic of the book, you know, and it's kind of a survival guide with a lot of people who have overcome exactly what you are currently struggling with. We know when people are living from a platform of happiness and love and compassion, those people make different decisions. They are different parents. They are different humans to each other. And if we can create more happy people who can turn those wounds into wisdom, then we have done something good. And we have paid forward a beautiful legacy. Absolutely.
Totally, totally. And I think it's important. It's important at the individual level and also for our own families. By the way, I'm curious about the painting in the background.
Oh, the painting is, it's a painter from Argentina who I met many years ago. And this book collection was already in my mind. So I asked her, can you paint a picture where there are different kind of people holding hands, and it's around the globe. And it said, and it says, you may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. That's the phrase from the Beatles, right?
Yeah.
So this painting is actually going to be the cover for the book collection, that we are united and we are together in all this. And if we can, if we are able to see that and see each other as humans instead of label everybody, then I think we have come a long way. So.
Totally. And I think it's changing with a lot of things, with the BLM movement or whatnot, but I think it has, still has a long ways to go.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that, like, you know, people like you leading some of this change as well.
Thank you.
I actually was, you know, checking your book online and doing my own research, right? There was one thing that really caught my eye. Nobody was there to save me, but I thought I was worth saving. So I just had to run away from home.
Exactly.
Today, I truly understand that not being scared or not being fearful is not the same thing as being brave.
Yeah.
That was a hard lesson
to learn. The first one is actually... that was exactly my situation when I was 8 years old. And I found out that my father had bought this one-way airline ticket. And I thought that if I didn't have anybody who could save me from boarding that plane straight to hell, then I need to save myself. And I believe that a lot of people can identify themselves, not exactly in that situation. When you don't have anybody else, you have to save yourself. You have to keep your dream alive. And as an eight-year-old, I had this dream of a better life. And I believe it has to be better than this. So to save myself, I had to run away to totally uncertainty in a town that I didn't know, with people I didn't know. And it could have ended up pretty bad. I mean, I could have ended up being a prostitute or going on drugs or being killed or you name it. So that quote is, I hope the message, people can see the message, that is that wherever you are, you have to save yourself. And the second quote you said, Krishna, is that at that time when I ran away from home and I knew that the police was chasing me, I knew that my father was chasing me, and I also knew that if he found me first, he would either kill me or put me on the plane. So I knew I had to be brave, but I didn't feel any fear, and I was not scared, because I knew that the only way was forward. In that moment, there is no time to look back. I believe that sometimes we need to have faith in our own strength, and we need to put ourselves into situations to increase our level of self-awareness. What are we capable of? And when I look back from my adult life, I can see this eight-year-old girl being so brave and courageous, and most importantly, she followed through with actions, you know. And she was so spunky and you know, she was fighting for her life.
It's one of those things. I know you believe this philosophy. We all gifted in some ways, and we all here for a purpose. And we discover that purpose through what we experience in this lifetime, either, you know, being homeless or, you know, mm-hmm. being an addict, whatever that mm-hmm. is, that sets us away from what we think the life is for us to, this is what you're supposed to do. And I see that. That's exactly what happened to that 8-year-old experiencing that. And you create a life out of it, and you have so much strength, and you're brave, and now you want to change the world with your mission.
We need to remember, or I need to share with you, that I was super successful. And the question I asked myself for several months was, how can I be this successful to this level and still not feel fulfilled? Mm-hmm. And that was all that going on in my mind, which led me to, I need to go back. I need to deal with the past. And so I think a lot of people are feeling or believing they are okay, because subconsciously we have created survival patterns, you know, in our daily lives. And we have also built this walls around our hearts to save ourselves. So some of my clients actually didn't believe that they had something that was holding them back until we went back. Mm-hmm. And it was like an tsunami of crying, and then an explosion, a positive explosion of the feeling of freedom when they have released that burden of pain. So sometimes our wounds are subconscious because we have closed the door. So when we think about it, it doesn't have to be stories in our childhood. It could be in our 30s or 40s or 50s or whatever. But we are, as humans, survivors. So we find a way. And a lot of people having this approach that life goes on and I have to go along with it. Mm-hmm. And therefore we are finding and creating those survival patterns around our life to be able to manage the pain and the hurt and all the crying.
Totally. And with your story, okay, you experienced that burden and difficult childhood, and you became an interior architect. You know, we all want to have the lifestyle that our parents taught us or what we observe. You know, you get really good education and you find a job and you became an interior architect. But at what point did, like, you know, you just said, like, you were very successful, but there has to be some mentors and triggers that connected you back with your childhood experience.
When I look back at my, I was interior architect for 13 years and I worked internationally. So I have done a lot of ambassador villas, villas for oil sheiks. I done job in Antarctica for British Science. I have been all over the place. When I look back and now when I'm understanding myself better, I can see all my coaching clients got all these results. I think I came to a point when I realized that I am onto something. So I went to New York, and 2 times a year in New York, you can pitch for really high-end media people. From television to radio to podcast, journalists, magazines, newspapers, you name it. And I thought that I need to pitch this to just see the response of how would the market respond to all this. So this was in 2015. And so I went to New York, and it was totally overwhelming in a positive way, in a good way. But everybody wanted to write about it. Everybody wanted to have me on radios. They wanted to write articles. They wanted me to be interviewed. And I was kind of, hold it. I have nothing yet. I just want to test this idea. And then I unfortunately was a passenger in a serious car accident in 2015. And I had to put everything on hold. I have been going through serious brain rehabilitation for the last couple of years, and also physiotherapy. So I had to put everything on hold. And that's the reason why it had taken so many years. So it's really a wonderful feeling to know that now we have reached the market and people are responding in this positive way. And so many people want to leave their legacy. So many people have stories they want to share. And they want to use this platform offered me to you to share the stories.
I think you're doing an amazing job. The time is only in our minds, and I think everything happens in its own timeline when it's supposed to come out. It will come out. Yeah. You have like 12,000 people already written to you. So they are freed from their own traumas, right? Which is a great feeling to have. I know for all of us, even personally, when I wanted to do something, we go out and do research and we all found mentors. Do you have someone like that?
I'm a strong believer in mentors. Absolutely. I had my first mentor just 6 months after I started my business back in 2004. I also believe that we need to be brutally honest to ourselves when we choose our mentors, because sometimes we need to choose the one that is actually, you know, putting us on the spot and helping us to dig deeper. So throughout the years, I have had mentors on my personal side as well as on my business side. And I think that combination had served me very well, mm-hmm. because I believe that you cannot take your business to the next level until you take yourself. It always starts with yourself.
Totally. And I think people should really invest in that education and just keep growing themselves. And it never gets wasted. There was a quote I read, the best gift that you can have and nobody can ever take away is the education and the knowledge that you have. It's not the money, it's not the cars.
Exactly.
You know, you're an international certified coach. You are Jack Canfield certified trainer as well. How was your experience? Like, you were traveling from Sweden to US, or did you do some of this training back in one of those retreats in Italy?
For many years, I lived part-time in Santa Barbara in California. And that is actually also the hometown of where Jack Canfield lives. I had a man in my life who became paralyzed from his chest down. And seeing a close person who you love dearly going through all this difficult thoughts and emotions of being active and living fully and then being paralyzed. So I went to Barnes & Noble's and was looking for a book. And I saw the Success Principles, and I didn't know Jack at all. And I saw the Success Principles and I thought, he looks like my grandfather, a really nice man. You know, I loved him so dearly, and his picture associated to my grandfather with the white hair and everything. So I thought that he looks like a good man. I think I will buy this book. So I bought the book for that reason and that reason only. And I read The Success Principles. I think it's really a thick book. And I read it for it only took me 2 days. And I thought, it's so simple, but yet tremendously powerful what he is teaching. So I thought I need to meet him. And so I did. And he became my personal mentor for a year that we had. Every Friday we had a 1 hour session. I think it was fun and also demanding at the same time. And I think it's really important to balance up that what Jack is providing, and then my other mentor is providing something else, and my business mentors are providing something else, and then I have my Qigong master Luke Chang, who provided something else. So it's really important to balancing up and kind of build your own recipe of success. Mm-hmm. And
that's amazing. And I think, you know, with Jack Canfield, you can always see him like a little child or a grandpa. I always hear these stories from other people.
He's one of the wisdom writers. I'm really happy that with his tremendous knowledge and experience found that the wisdom writing method worked for him as well. That will be shared, obviously, when we are showing the interview on social media for other people to see. But what I really want to share is that it doesn't matter what level of success of who we are. Inside, we have all the same things, you know? We have all stories. It doesn't matter if you are the CEO of a 500 Fortune company, you still have unhealed wounds. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you are the FedEx guy, he also have unhealed wounds. You know, everybody has it.
You know, I have seen instances where people just don't care. And I have also seen people who do care and be compassionate about somebody else's situations. So I'm really hoping, and people will think more about other people around them and love them unconditionally. It doesn't matter if it is a family member or if it is a stranger. Just be kind, right?
Yeah.
And I think with all your stories, it's not only for them, but also for those readers who will be, you know, reading the book or watching these social media videos. It will have a significant impact on them because they will start talking about it. They will also see themselves experiencing their own trauma. It's like when you read a book, we read the book, but the message that comes to us is how we see it and how we experience that book.
Exactly.
From our own ideas, yeah. Right? So I'm really happy that you're doing this. And earlier you mentioned about having multiple mentors and how you balance it out. And the recipe always comes out different for us based on our own needs. And
yeah.
I had multiple mentors, and when I switched mentors, I used to think I'm moving away from one mentor to another mentor, but I always knew that, okay, I learned everything from here. There is something else I need to learn. And usually these mentors show up to us when you're on that quest. Did
exactly.
That happen to you, like you'd like the book that you just found?
That is exactly what happened. With Jack, because I was attending one of his events, and he conducted a guided meditation. And I had meditated since 1988. And through the guiding of Jack and that meditation, my mother showed up. And she had never showed up since 1988. I mean, she has been dead for a long time. And she showed up and she had a message. And I thought that she must feel safe to show up in this environment with Jack. And if she feels safe, then I trust this guy, you know? She never showed up in any meditation. So I think that was kind of a sign that this is the right guy for you, Susie. And also, you're totally right that they show up in different places, because a couple of years ago, I had Dr. Jeff Spencer as my corner man. He called himself a corner man. And I didn't know anything about Dr. Jeff Spencer. Mm-hmm. And I was attending an event with Jay Abraham, and I was sitting next to Jeff, and we started to talking, and I didn't know who that guy was. But when you feel this deeper connection at a level beyond your consciousness, mm-hmm. then I believe you have to go with it. You have to follow that path and see what's in there. So he was my corner man for almost a year. And he is just amazing understanding human behavior. That is absolutely expertise. So yeah, you're totally right. They show up, but you need to be present to recognize the opportunity, right?
It's beautiful how some of these things happen subconsciously and you have no clue. It's beautiful. Susie, you're an amazing human being. Don't stop what you're doing. As you said earlier, your vision is what's driving you. And I can't wait to see the book and the videos and, you know, and the 1 million people that are transformed and moving the mission. So thank you for being true to yourself and helping others to do the same as well.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.